That's the most important website you'll ever want to have. It's Dr. Michelle with you on the couch Friday, Pacific Standard Time. Woohoo! 11 o'clock in the morning. Well, actually, to be exact, 11.03 a.m. And I thought it'd be a great way to start off our morning together. Let's groove, because I can feel it. It's going to be a good day. Earth, wind, and fire. Dr. Michelle at your service here. Let me get you going here on bbstalkradio.com. If you'd like to call in and make comments, our number live on the air, 818-602-4498. 818-602-4498. And what we're talking about today is, well, heck, you know, we got spring break going on. And I thought, we've never really talked to adolescents. I always like that word, adolescents, teens, you know, about what's going on in their lives. And, you know, it's a time of change. And you parents out there, and you siblings who are older or younger, you might find yourself wondering whether, you know, the changes you see in your teen family member, son, daughter. No posing. That's something else. I'll talk about that later. Anyway. There's a lot of changes. Each teenager is unique. Let me just point that out. And I work with teens. I work with adolescents, young adults, adults alike. But, you know, there's a lot of changes going on. And there are normal changes. And we're going to talk about those normal changes. What is really normal? And what's not so normal? But I think all these parents who come to see me in my private practice office go, oh, man, my teen's doing this, and they're doing that, and they're doing this, and they're going. Most of that stuff I hear and see is normal because they're trying to find their own independence, individuality. So we're going to talk about that and more. I have some special guests in studio today. Now, I put it out on the Internet, my website, by the way, Dr. Michelle Therapy. .com, DRMICHELLE, therapy. You know how to spell therapy? THERAPY. I don't know how to spell it sometimes. I do it, but whatever. Anyway, so I put it out on my website, and I said, I would like the first two teens who would like to be live on my show to write me and let me know what if you'd like to talk about teen issues. So lo and behold, I got hundreds of responses, and my favorite were Katie and Dave. Hi, guys. How are you today?
We're good. How are you?
Good. Hey, Katie. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good.
So nice to have you here. Dave, how old are you, by the way?
I'm 15 and a half.
15. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you'll be 16 when?
May 14th.
Ooh, close.
Yes.
You driving yet?
I have my permit.
Mm. And Katie, you are how old?
I'm 17.
Great. Great. You want to move a little closer to the mic, Katie? Because
sure.
You have a great voice. I want everybody to hear you. So, you know, we're talking about teens and what they've been up to, and these guys are really... really nice people. I really like you guys, by the way. We're going to have fun today.
Well, we like you.
Oh, thank you. Well, you better say that. I got your microphone switches. I've got control. Anyway, we're also going to be talking to a psychologist who's an expert on teens. And, you know, I'll introduce him anyway. So he's awesome. He'll be coming up on the air, on phone, and we'll all talk together. And you guys can ask him questions like, why do my parents do these stupid things? Or why did my friend do this dumb thing? Or why, whatever. And you can ask me those questions too. But, so I just, you know, just a little intro here. Again, a lot of parents are not understanding how they were, I think, when they were younger, right? Don't you think? They don't get it. Like, they don't remember back when they were 14, 15, 16, and how they were thinking and acting maybe. So they're not, so when parents have seen their kids grow up and they're like little cute babies and little, cute 10-year-old, 12, 13-year-olds, and they're like all still dependent on mom and dad and siblings or whatever. And then 14, the hormones start kicking in. And the independence starts happening, which is a good thing. It's called normal development. So, you know, lots of things happen. We change our appearance, right? So we can all, you know, be more individual as to who we are. What feels right for us? You guys are nodding. Feel free to speak out loud. It's quite all right. Most common is, you know, teens withdraw from family life, right?
Yeah.
You kind of pull away because you're going, wait a minute, hello, got my own thoughts and my own feelings, starting to think about those things with my friends, talking about that stuff. Mm-hmm. Parents don't get it. They don't get it. A lot of arguments, increased arguments, normal for parents and or teachers, but they kind of have control over us, so we can't really argue too much with them. But, yeah, there's a lot more arguing because you guys are your own people. You have your own mind. You have your own thoughts. You know what's going on in the world, right? Emotional ups and downs. Am I kind of nailing it? Am I getting close?
Very good.
I getting close, Dave,
yes,
to what
you
you're going through?
Yes.
Okay, good. Emotional ups and downs. You're sometimes on a roller coaster. Sometimes you're feeling so depressed, so down, and you don't understand why. You kind of have a feeling, but, you know, it's hormones. It's emotional. It's friend stuff that you haven't resolved yet, and that's normal. And other people around you or parents will go, what's wrong? Why are you so quiet? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, experimentation with drugs. I mean, come on. Now, we were talking before the show, guys, and we were talking about friends. You know, every party, if it's a big party you go to, usually somebody's got alcohol or pot or something like that, right? I mean, a lot of the times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you can admit that. Yeah, and, you know, you guys, especially if you're older, if you're going to older parties, 17, 18, you know, the seniors, the juniors, and you're still a sophomore, right? But, I mean, you're very mature for your age, Dave.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. But you are. So I want you guys to talk a little bit. Tell me, what are some of the most common problems that you guys, like, have, maybe with, like, parents? What are some of the things that bug you? Is that a good question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Personally, something that bugs me about just parents and teachers in general.
Yeah.
Is they think that they know what you're going through. They think that they understand everything.
Mm.
And they don't.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, we're all individuals, you know? Like, we all have our things, and we all experience the same things, I guess you could say. Like, we all experience the same, like, basis of things.
Yeah.
Throughout
yeah.
our lives, and especially throughout our teenage lives.
Right, right.
But, I mean, certain people have different ways of dealing with things,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and certain people do experience different things, and people need to understand that, you know?
Yeah, everybody's different.
And, right. And also, like, people deal with different things in their lives different. Like, every single person, like, one thing happens to one person, like, I would experience that much differently than, like, David would.
Exactly.
Just everyone's individual in what they go through and how they deal with problems.
Exactly. Not only because you're a girl, but, I mean, also because everybody's got their own
exactly.
reality.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And their own experience. And you guys are, would you say you're trying to kind of figure it out within you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
definitely. Yeah.
So what are some of the most common problems you guys kind of go through on, like, a, I don't want to say daily basis? Would that be, like,
no,
really exaggerating?
You could definitely.
There's a lot of stuff every day, right?
Definitely.
Okay.
Common problems. Teachers that think that they have complete authority over you.
Mm-hmm.
They do, in the sense of where you go for the rest of your life.
Right.
Sometimes they take advantage of that.
Right.
But one thing that teachers don't understand is that we can do whatever we want. We technically have control over them, because there's one of them and 40 of us in one class.
Uh-huh.
But, for example, I have a teacher.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cool, I love this.
No names. But she absolutely zero slack. No slack.
Yeah.
And I mean, we'll be doing everything she wants.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, out of nowhere, she'll say, okay, you know, you guys stop now, or, you know, I'm going to give you the test right now instead of next Wednesday. It's like, are you joking? Like, we're not doing anything, you know, like, we're whispering.
Right, right.
And most of the stuff we're whispering about, I mean, like, yeah, like, you know, we talk about our personal lives, like, in math class and stuff, and English class, like, you know, we talk about our personal lives, yeah, but most of the time when we're whispering, we're usually talking about how to do the problem, because the teacher doesn't explain it the way that we understand it.
Right, right. Okay.
That could definitely be a daily.
And
so,
like,
ahead, Katie, go.
Like, for me, I mean, I guess a similar problem, but, like, personal life and, like, schoolwork, maybe, like, oh, I didn't read the chapter because I was dealing with a crisis with my friend. Like,
right.
You totally just have to pick which one's most important. And a lot of times, like, schoolwork doesn't really come first. And that's really, I mean, a lot of teachers, like, it's they sometimes forget that you have six or, in my case, seven other classes to deal with. And, like, it's a lot of times, I guess, they feel like their subject's most important, which, I mean, in their minds it is. But, I mean, we have so much more stuff to deal with also. And, like, it's really difficult when, like, they don't understand that, like, if you're having, like, a crisis with a friend, that, in that moment in time, that's the most important thing. Like, I'll read my chapters, I'll do my math homework later, but, like, right now, this is really crucial for me to, like, do and deal with before I can really do anything else.
Right. Do you find that as well, Dave, usually?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so what we can nail down here for teenagers is that they really need to kind of resolve and talk through a lot of their personal relationship stuff. Kind of first, take care of that first,
yeah.
Because you feel better after you do it.
Like, the other night, keep talking.
Yeah, go for it.
The other night, I was dealing with, I mean, it definitely has been a crisis in my life for the past 4 or 5 months, maybe you could even say past the year.
Yeah.
But it was kind of resolved the other night, and I was on the phone with this person for, like, maybe an hour or so instead of studying for a history test.
Right, right.
And my parents were pretty angry with me, like, you know, this person's taking up so much time in your life, you know, your school's so important to you, junior year, college, all that junk. But, I mean, it was totally something that I knew I had to deal with before I could really do anything else. Or else, because it's the kind of thing, if I didn't deal with it now, I'm going to have to deal with it in a second. So it's just, would I rather do it right now and not study for a history test that I have, or maybe put it off and worry about it and stress out about it
for
a lot longer.
Ah,
and
okay.
It, like, when she, I don't know, it just bothered me.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, so you'd give advice to parents kind of if you have some issues you're going through. One thing that I always suggest that teens do with their parents is find a compromise. And say, I kind of need to call this person back because I'm having some stuff going on. And if you let me call him back, I'll talk to him for a little bit, and then I'll jump back into the study stuff, and then can I call him back afterwards? Usually compromise kind of helps, but I know you want to resolve if it's not totally resolved. So you're saying that you'd be studying your history test stuff, and then you'd be thinking about, oh, boy, I got to call so-and-so back.
Exactly.
So that might be intruding on kind of your thoughts.
Also, there's, like, an extent. I mean, if you don't sit down to do your homework at all during the night because you're on the phone with him and going there with that person. And, I mean, that's a little, obviously a parent would probably be kind of ticked off. But, I mean, if it's really just one kind of major thing rather than a bunch of little things taking up your time, then
I guess
it's worth to kind of just set aside schoolwork and other things.
No, exactly. I hear you. One of the most common complaints I get from teens and young adults is that their parents kind of don't listen. I mean, they kind of act like they listen, but they don't really kind of take the time to listen and sit down.
They could. Are you saying parents don't
listen?
Parents listen. They listen too closely. That's what I think. Like, they overanalyze what you're saying. For example, I don't know. I could say, you know, could I. I'm just going to throw, like, a random example. Could I drive with this person in a car, you know? And, you know, my parents would usually, like, usually my parents are very cool with that. Like, you know, they'll say, yeah, you know, let me meet the person and stuff. But if it's somebody that, like, they don't know, that, you know, it can legally drive me. And, but, like, if they don't know them, they'll usually be like, no, you know, it's not okay.
Right.
And what they don't understand is, yeah, you know, I can see the point where it could not be okay, where you don't know this person and, you know, you don't know, like, if this person's ever gotten in a crash or, like, this person's background regarding driving or whatever. But one thing that the parent has to take into consideration is if, like, depending on their child, like, if they really do trust their kid, then they can say that, you know, that they can believe in their kid, that they would have good enough judgment to get in a car with somebody that, you know, wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And parents need to understand that their kid isn't out to hurt themselves.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean,
no kid leaves the house like, I'm going to get hurt tonight. Want to, like, get in a car. Like,
yeah.
You just, I mean, you're going to be the safest that you think you need to be.
Right. Exactly.
I know. I have, like, a family friend who was dating this guy who was divorced and had kids. He had a teenage son. And this is really icky. And I think the thing is parents hear these kind of stories and they read, the media is always coming out with it and all that stuff. But what happened was this guy went to a party and he got hammered drunk. He was 18. He was 18. But he had like five friends in his car. And he totaled the car on the freeway. And he killed a couple of the guys. And he went to jail. The dude's serving time for manslaughter. Yeah. And it's really a sad, sad state of affairs. So I think what happens is parents, teachers, you know, we get all these kind of stories. And this is like weird for me because it was like a personal family friend who said, whoa, this is so, because I knew the boy. I knew the guy. And I don't really like going to the state pen to visit him. It's kind of sad. But anyway, no, I think parents hear about these things and you know, kind of freaks them out a little bit. And then they go, of course we're protective. We don't want you guys to be doing stuff that's out there.
The difference, though, is, as you mentioned before, they were hammered drunk.
Right.
You know, I mean, I know that I'm, you know, sane enough not to get in a car with somebody that's, you know, that's high or that's drunk or something.
Right,
or,
you know,
that's under the influence of anything. Like, I mean, you know, I'm, even if I need a ride someplace, like, you know, I'm sane enough not to do that. And,
right. You know. And that's really, you know what? I mean, that's really cool. And I think a lot of parents, they do talk to their parents, I mean, their kids about, you know, don't drive, don't smoke pot, don't whatever, do whatever. You know, I know a lot of narcotics, and when I say that, I'm talking about, you know, like the Vicodin and the OxyContin, all that. That's for sale at a lot of the high schools. There's a whole thing going on there that, you know, all these parents hear this stuff, so they're freaky. They want their kids to be protected from somebody who's going to go, hey, oh my God, I feel so good. You were telling me before the show you had a friend the other day at lunch who had like a, what did she have, a muffin or something like that? Okay, cake. Tell me. Okay, oh. I want to hear this. This is great.
Sure.
Crumb cake?
Yeah.
Okay, what'd she say? What happened?
No,
she's not a real good friend, I guess, but I don't know. A nice lady.
I'm curious to hear the story.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I was in one of my periods, and then she was like, she was one of my friends, and she sits next to me, and I mean, you know, she smokes pot.
Okay.
I mean, half of my school does. You know,
more than half, like 80%.
Yeah, probably 80%.
I won't say the school. Yeah. Okay. So here in L.A. somewhere.
No, probably.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
No, I mean, it's true.
See, like, this is the kind of thing that freaks parents out.
I have a feeling most high schools, like, whenever I talk to someone else from another high school, it's like, yeah, all these kids in my school do drugs. And it's like, people think it's just a certain school.
Right.
Not to mention
really
which one. But I mean, most high schools have these problems, and it's just whether you choose to like acknowledge it or not.
Right. And I think that's why a lot of parents put their kids into private schools, but I think it's still widespread there.
Private schools. I mean, I have many friends that go to private schools, and all of my friends in private schools, you know, I mean, no. Okay. So there's one of my friends.
Okay. I want to hear the crumb cake story. Go ahead.
Oh yeah.
Okay. No, so I was just chilling in class, and then my friend pulled out of her bag a crumb cake, or actually a couple crumb cakes that were pot, and she's like, do you want to go at nutrition and then get, you know, eat some? And I'm like, you know, I'm okay. Like, I don't really do that. Like, I've never really done that, and I mean, it just doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I mean, For somebody just to be like, yeah, you know, like, let's go get high, and then let's come back to school, and let's just, you know, like, chill in our classes, and...
Right, and if it's a crumb cake, it looks just like lunch, so you go out, and, you know, you're just going to eat it, and then...
You could even eat it in class. A lot of teachers don't even mind.
I mean...
Well, do they know?
Yeah.
I mean, I have many friends that, I mean, will say they're going to go to the bathroom, you know, they'll take their pipe and their weed, and then they'll go...
No way.
Like, they'll go off... They'll go off... I mean, like, they'll sneak off campus and, like, they'll go smoke, and then they'll come back, you know, 20 minutes later, because the teachers, you know, like, either don't care, like, they
like
just lose track. Yeah, especially substitute. You know, they'll come back, and they're, you know, they're high off their ass, and, like...
Yeah.
They'll just come back, and, you know, they'll like... Their aisles will be all like sagging, and they'll just like look at you like, what's up, you know.
so tell me this, did your friend with the crumb cake, did she eat hers, and was she stoned the rest of the day, or
she was baked.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah, she was yeah.
Oh wow. Okay, this is I love this story. I mean, the thing is that this is the stuff of the parents hear, and they go, oh my God, I want to keep my kid from the peer pressure. And by the way, this is Dr. Michelle. You're on the couch today. We're here every Friday and Saturday from 11 to 12. And I got my special guest in the studio. We're doing teens today because it's spring break kind of time, and teens go out, and we all, you know, we know about you guys want to have independence, go out and party, and woohoo! when you go places and you see these things on MPTV, like the, what is the South Padre Cancun. Island?
Yeah.
Cancun, South Padre Island, Florida parties, and Malibu. Malibu's kind of, it's not really happening in Malibu this time of year. But, I mean, they have a lot of parties, and everybody's, you know, going, what? It's like girls gone wild and boys totally wasted and weird. And that's what I call it. But, by the way, we have Katie and David in the studio, and these guys answered my request for teens to talk on my show about issues. And thank you so much for coming in. I love it. We're still here. We're going to be talking. If you guys want to make a call and talk to Dave or Katie, ask a question, or me about anything, you can do so. I'm your friendly shrink, Dr. Michelle. That number is 818-602-4498. And it's bbstalkradio.com. Listen live.
Oh, I remembered. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, good.
I was going to say, I remember another thing that I was going to bring up. So my brother, he's in college. He's a freshman.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say which one? I mean, because it kind of is relevant to the
story.
He goes to USC.
Okay.
And so it was before I got my year up for my driving license, like legally driving other people,
yeah,
like that year.
Yeah.
It was before I had that up, and I mean, it was definitely, I had my license when this whole thing happened for like 10 months or something. So I was like on the verge of like being legal. But,
yeah.
Me and my best friend were going to go visit my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course we wanted to drive there. We weren't going to like take the bus from LA, like from LA where we live to SC. So we wanted to drive, and my parents would not let us because it wasn't legal. So we had to take two separate cars.
Okay.
Which I thought was absolutely ridiculous. Like, I mean, it's like, yes, it's breaking the law, but I mean, especially the car I drive, not exactly gas efficient.
Oh,
is that
okay.
What you say?
Yeah, yeah.
But I just thought it was so silly, and I did not understand why they would do that. I mean, yeah, like logically, that makes no sense.
Right.
Whatsoever.
I think the thing is, they didn't want you to, like, let's just say if you got pulled over by a cop or something like that. I think they just didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to get a phone call.
Exactly.
You know, if you guys were not doing that great, I think that's what they didn't. And they didn't want to get in trouble with the law, and you know, that's what we worry about as parents. That's the thing. But no, I hear what you're saying.
I just thought it was so like silly. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But you know, it's just most of the stuff we do is about trying to take care of you guys and keep you safe and all that. Because see, it's real hard to step into the role of, okay, they're independent adults now almost, but they're still teenagers. And, you know, again, these little eyes from these little people that are always needing you and looking up going, help me, Eric. Can I? And all of a sudden it's like, excuse me, I'm going with my friends later. And, you know, everybody's got their own thing.
And
so,
it seemed like every reason they gave me was just so, like from left field. Like, you
know,
you could be at a stoplight and someone could come up to your car and, like who, how would you even make that up? Like,
I know, but you know what? I got to tell you something. I was in a kind of a funky neighborhood in LA, and I was driving, and I had my door open. I pulled up to a stop light, and there was some guy on the street corner, and he opened the other side and said, hey, baby, can I, and he started to jump in the car.
Oh, that's weird.
But yeah, I mean, yeah.
Keep my doors locked. Keep my windows up.
You're smart. That's it. I was like, duh.
I mean, I'm just going to jump in here real quick. There's been countless, I mean, I can't even count on every phalange that I have.
Good word.
Phalanges are the fingers.
You're
and the
educated.
Toes.
Wow.
Thank you. how many times I've gotten these excuses. I mean, we can even go back to the driving thing. Don't drive with this person. I mean, you know, no. Okay, so I have my permit, and I'm driving, or I want to drive to the beach.
Mm. Okay.
And my dad said, no, you can't drive to the beach. No, you know, like there could be drunk people coming home right now.
True.
Which is true. But, I mean, the chances of, you know,
mm-hmm.
the chances of somebody, you know, coming home drunk and at that exact same time, you know, hitting you. I mean, yeah, is it a possibility? Like, most definitely it's a possibility, but the chances of something like that actually happening are so slim, and, you know, then you could ask yourself, like, do you want to take that chance? But then, like, that shouldn't even be a question in your mind because just of, like, the relativity of actually what's going on and where you are.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, if you are prepared, like, if you are a safe driver, then you will, you know, you'll know how to handle yourself in that situation. I mean, you know, it's not like someone's going to,
right. No, I hear you.
There's always odds of, like, I mean, statistics, I guess. But I mean, there's always odds, but I mean, it's just like, of course, there's always people who get, like, who get unfortunate in situations like that. But then again, how more often than not are people safe? And, like, when you see a drunk driver, just kind of pull over to the side of the road, let them do their thing, whatever, and then keep going.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
Like, a tornado could hit right now, you know?
I know. Okay, here's
a tornado could hit. Like,
I hear how fortunate.
A tidal wave. The thing is that... I think the thing is the parents really go overboard. I mean, we always go to the worst case scenario because we're parents and that's how we are. I mean, if we're pretty conscientious parents. And I don't think parents should be your friends. I mean, they can be cool people and nice and fun, but I think parents should still, you know, set boundaries and say, no, you can't do that. And that's the common problem because it's all about we still kind of want to have control. We still want to make sure we know where you're at. We want to make sure, you know, that you're going to be safe and blah, blah, blah. And I know you guys don't want to hear it. And I know the argument about the statistically, you know, happening that some drunk person would, you know, be driving down Pacific Coast Highway and hammer into me. That's kind of a rare, but and it's just parental stuff. But so what are some of the weirdest things that your friends – let's get juicy. Let's get into the weird stuff. What are some of the, like, worst things that some of your friends do that kind of – freak you out that you think are like reckless behaviors that
ghost riding.
what's that?
Oh boy.
it's where
oh no. Okay.
No, it's
okay,
it's
parents.
It's not bad.
What's your volume up?
Not bad, it's just kind of funny. It's where kids are driving in a car and then it's kind of stupid.
What?
It's really stupid.
They'll jump on their, like, while they're driving, they'll open their door, crawl out their window, and then jump on the roof of their car, like, while their car is, like, still in motion. Then, like, they'll, like, dance on their...
They'll blast some music.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, the car's still moving.
Oh, yeah. It's just, like, idling, I guess.
Nice. It's idling, so it's stopping. No,
I mean,
it's rolling.
It's definitely rolling.
Okay, I'm freaking out. So they call it, why do they call it ghost riding?
Because
you could die?
There's a ghost driving the car.
Oh, God. Oh, the driver jumps out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everyone jumps out. Like, cars abandoned, people dancing around in the streets, on the car. Okay. It's really funny to watch. I mean, it's awful that people do that, but for entertainment.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's scary.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah, I guess.
But it's also fun to see people fall.
Have you seen anybody get busted for it?
No.
What are some of the drugs that some people in your school are doing? I mean, like, is it everything? Or what's, like, the most popular in your school?
Definitely weed.
Definitely
sure.
weed.
But second place is probably shrooms.
Yeah. Okay.
And then after that, if alcohol is considered a drug, then, I mean, that's common, too.
Yeah, I mean...
But if you're talking about, like, the, like, drugs...
Yeah.
Then, for sure.
Illegal drugs? Yeah.
I'd
probably agree.
I mean, I guess... If you found, you could find all these drugs anywhere, but I think maybe coke is probably somewhere in there. I mean, this is going to sound bad, but like a lot of girls, it's mostly girls who do it, just like, I don't know, get skinny.
I
don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean,
sure.
That's pretty common if you ask around.
Right, it's like, I hear you.
You know, even a couple of people that I know, they were my friends, and I mean, they're getting into heroin.
Yeah. No way.
I mean, these kids are, I know this kid, he just got caught for heroin a couple months ago, and, I mean, he goes to a different school now.
Yeah.
But,
it's called, rehab?
No,
the school of rehab?
I mean, it's sad stuff.
It's really sad.
And I knew him, you know, a while ago in, like, middle school and stuff, and, like, he was a very... Like, he kind of got teased a lot. Like, he was one of the kids that was, like...
Aww.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. And then, like, you know, a couple of years later, just because of, you know, peer pressure and stuff, you know, he got high. And then after that, he, you know, got more. And then, you know, he...
I wonder if, like, bullies know that they do that to people. You know what I mean? Like, if that guy who was making fun of him, like...
Definitely not. Definitely
I'm going to send this kid to rehab. Like, I wonder if they would... You know what I mean? That's awful.
And I think that's one of the most common reasons why kids do stuff that's self-destructive is because it's such an important thing is their self-esteem.
Yeah.
And them being liked, not by a lot of people. I mean, they don't have to be major popular or anything like that. But, I mean, just, you know, feeling like they're liked by a few people and they have friends they can identify with.
Yeah.
And And the problem is if they are kind of different, or they are, and this is the thing about teaching tolerance too. You know, this is so important. Tolerance to cultural differences, religious differences, ethnicities. And I think you guys, more than any generation, really have your act together in terms of colorblindness, in terms of openness, about not judging other people.
Definitely.
And it's really about time. You know, there's so many changes going on in our society now. So it's really nice to see that, you know. Go ahead, Katie. I'm
like
sorry.
Like, just like, I don't know. I guess, I don't really know if it's not really one of, like, the most commonly debated political topics of right now. But, like, the whole aspect of, like, gay marriage and, like, that kind of thing. Like, we're not in, like, we're not in the 50s anymore. Like, honestly, are we really segregating people? Like, it's not even, it's not like a issue of, like, skin color. It's just something different. But, I mean, it's basically the same exact thing. Like, you're just totally, like, just segregating people for no reason. And it's just, it's like, are we in 2008 or are we in, you know, 1952? Like,
exactly.
Honestly.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's not like these people, I mean, I don't know, you know, the topic always comes up, you know, are you born gay, or, you know, like, do you develop to be gay?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Whatever it is, you know, like, if whatever those people want, like, it's like the exact same thing as discrimination, you know.
Exactly.
Like, if people that are gay, you know, like, want to get married, you know, hell, like, let them get married.
Exactly.
You know, like, and I know then the whole, like, religious topic comes up of, you know, well, if you're gay, you know, you can't do that because, you know, it's not part of your religion. But, you know, this is definitely going on, like, a very, like, long stretch here.
Yeah.
Juicy topic.
No,
as you would
I hear
say.
You. Exactly.
But, I mean, you know, question yourself with that. I mean, if this religion, you know, saying that, then, you know, I mean, yeah, it is your religion. But if that's what makes you happy and your, quote-unquote, pursuit of happiness.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, do that.
Well, that's neat. And I think, you know, teens these days and young adults, that's the thing. There's just a lot more openness and everything. And that's the whole argument, you know, it's nature or nurture. Is it biological? Is it environmental? Because, you know, your sexual orientation is different, whatever. Doesn't really matter. You are what you are, and you know what you feel. And I think there's more tolerance and respect, and so I agree with you guys, and it's really refreshing that your generation is more open and tolerant to everything,
and
because that makes for a more peaceful world, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of times for high school students, they feel so they have to be a certain way because, I mean, especially where I go to school, I go to high school. It's very, I mean, you could say it's very trendy and just kind of it's from an affluent neighborhood, and you know, just like the people who are very kind of off the wall and, you know, like, aren't exact like everyone else. Like, they're kind of not like looked down upon, but I mean, they're definitely not seen in the same light as everyone else. And it's really sad. I mean, like, but it's so relieving because to know, like, once we leave this, like, the bubble, you know what I mean? It'll totally be different. Like, people, like, will, like, respect you for being different. And, like, it's just, I think it's a growing up thing. Like, as of right now, being different might be kind of weird, but if you just, like, stick through it a little bit in a matter of time, like, for me, once I leave, like, high school in, like, a year and a half, I will be, you know what I mean? I'll, oh, don't look at me that face.
That's
okay.
You guys
will be
friends.
I come back and visit David all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
But, I mean, it'll just be a whole different environment. It'll be really nice.
No, I think so, and I hear you. And the more you guys will just get older, you'll know who you are more.
Exactly.
You'll get more with the kind of people, you know, that you want to be with, and you'll know who you're on the same frequency mental-wise with, and who you know, from a spiritual point of view, that is. And, you know, we have a call coming in, and I've been waiting for our special caller. Dr. Alan Kamo is a specialist. See if I can pull him up here on Internet Radio. Dr. Alan Kamo, are you with us today? Little delay there on the phone thing, too. Hello? Are you with us on the air today, doctor? Guess he's not. Let me try to click this thing again. Let's pull him up. There he is. Let's answer him. All right. Good morning, Dr. Alan Kamo. Are you with us? Try it again. Hi, Alan. Are you with us?
Oh, man.
Hello. Are
the
you
person
with...
whom you're trying to reach
oh, wait.
Is currently unavailable.
All right.
Ooh.
That's it. Ooh, listen
after
to that.
The beep.
Well, let's leave a best. Hello. You're unavailable. Call me back if you're listening to the radio show. That phone number is 1-818-602-4498. And that, as I see on the screen, is coming up as I'm going to reject the call. It's coming up as an international call. Okay? So let me reject that and try to call again. There we go. All right. Call in again. Let's try it. All right. Good. They hung up. They're going to call again.
David
and we'll wait for that call.
Silly faces.
I know he does. I know he's crazy.
We're gonna,
you know what we'll do? We'll take a short break and we'll wait for the doctor to come in because he is a specialist. You guys are having way too much fun. This is Dr. Michelle on the couch with you. And we're talking about teen issues today. You know, it's spring break and the kids are going out and getting in trouble. Or not. You can call me live at 818-602-4498. You can also reach me at drmichelletherapy.com. That's DrMichelle Therapy, therapy.com. I know it's kind of a long number. Anyway, we're going to do a little music, take a quick break. Hopefully our guest caller. We'll be right back with Katie and Dave, guest teenagers on the show, talking about teens and their issues. Issues and what's going on. I'm a relationship specialist, but I do a lot of other stuff too. So if you have any questions, you can always give me a call here. And you can find me at drmichelletherapy.com. That's my website, drmichelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, therapy, therapy.com. Got a couple of emails going, I typed that in. It's not coming up. Therapy is therapy. That's how you spell it. Got to know. You got to spell it. You know what I'm talking about? If you know what we're doing. We're going to try to pull up another call here. Let's see if Dr. Alan Comeau is on our line now. Hello, Alan. Are you there? We're having a little problem with our phone system. Let's try that again. Once more. Hello.
Oh, hello.
There he is. He's the man. Yeah, yeah.
We made it.
We made it. Dr. Alan Comeau is a licensed psychologist. And, by the way, musician extraordinaire. You're a great musician, by the way.
Thank you for that.
He writes great music. And plays it, too, in clubs here around L.A. He's a multifaceted, multi-talented kind of guy. Also affiliated with UCLA. Been a professor. He's got a couple of PhDs. You're very modest, actually, for all of your accolades that we give you.
I want to remain bearable, so keep a low profile.
Aww. Darlin, why don't you tell people how you can be contacted so... when they hear you talk and give all of your great advice and tips and everything, they can contact you on your website and listen to your music.
Well, actually, there's a couple of ways. Through my website, www.drdrcomeau.com, that's where you can find information about the things that I've written about, and you can link my to an email there. But you can also email direct at... a.comeau@verizon.net. And from my MIP is also topangarecords.com.
Yeah. I like that. And you also have an album you've come out with. It's called Life is in Session. And I love that.
Well, it's inspired by the kind of work that I've done over all these years, over 30 years of practice and over 40 years of music. And I guess that makes me 70-something old.
Wow, you look young.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not 70.
Even over the phone. Yeah.
That's right. We're talking about teens today, everybody, and issues they have. And along with Dr. Alan Comeau, licensed psychologist on the phone, and one of my favorite expert co-hosts here, we have Katie and David in the studio. And we've been talking about teen issues and some of the most common things they have to deal with and the things they don't understand from parents and teachers. And since you're the expert, we're all going to have a conversation together. And I thought I'd just ask you, Alan, what are some of the most common problems that teens talk to you about in your practice?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because, you know, as you might imagine, teens at therapy office, if they can have a trusting relationship with a therapist, I mean, not everyone starts off with one, you know, you have to decide whether to trust someone and talk about, you know, what's happening with you really. Well, they'll have different conversations often than teens will have at home with parents or anybody else for that matter. So, you know, the things that you might imagine will come up have to do with, like, oh, my parents and, you know, what you might call permissions, you know, that wanting to stay up later, play more video games, having to cope with parents not approving of their peers. But as often as not, of course, in a therapy office, teens talk about what bothers them and how they feel about it. So anxiety and depression are common. You know, there's probably 8% of adolescents, according to the NIH study, National Institute of Mental Health,
mm-hmm.
you know, will, you know, suffer from depression, and 13% suffer from anxiety,
varying
degrees of that. So, you know, of course, we'll talk about things to do with what gets them there, the suffering that they have. But in terms of the practicality of it, that kids talk about their relationships with their peers, you know, feeling in out of the peer group that they want to be in, or dealing with rejection, or sometimes injury or betrayal. That's pretty common, you know. And then also just being self-conscious about being a teen, or being a person, and becoming just a whole lot more self-conscious during the teenage years. That's
right.
A time of huge growth and expansion of bodily and mental growth, and the brain sort of takes a leap into abstract thinking, which is thinking about possibility. And as you imagine, there's a lot of things that are possible in this world, not only good things but bad things, and teens are worried about those. And then, of course, some of them have trouble with their studies, and, you know, with problems of focusing and attention, which takes you into the ADHD kind of categories, but also just generally staying focused and having to, you know, plan and do their work.
Yeah, well,
that's just some of the areas.
Exactly. No, that makes sense. It really makes sense. Our guest teen in studio, Dave, had a question to ask you. Is that okay?
Oh, sure. Okay.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, how are you doing?
Not bad. What are some of the most common assumptions that you think teens make about parents that might not be so true?
Well, here you go. You know, one of the things that it's almost like there's two different kinds of animals, you know, and the teenage animal and the parent animal, if you will, you know, that.
Right.
But every parent was once a teen, but that doesn't mean that the parent understands what's really going on in the mind of the teen, because every generation has different challenges. So, you know, teens often assume that parents don't understand and couldn't understand, but really that's partly due to the fact that there are some real differences, you know, as you know, I mean, but real differences in, you know, where your mind is at and where you're going to, and the amount of change you're going through. So when you compare your parents with, say, your peer group, you know,
right.
your kids your own age, you see that they're going through the same things and some of the same things and having the same conversation, the same struggles. So, the mind seems to band together, and then somehow parents are imagined as people who, as a group, you know, don't understand. But the good news is that parents and teens together can understand each other, but you have to make an effort to do that.
Yeah,
right.
it is an
right,
effort,
right.
huh?
Thank you.
Yeah. Katie, you wanted to ask Dr. Comeau something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like kind of what David said, but like, what do you think are like common assumptions that parents make about teens that probably aren't that true? Like the opposite, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's easy to play the negative card, isn't it? You know, when parents, you know, they see the teens out there having a good time. That's
right.
What they think anyway, right?
Right, right.
You know, they're not studying, they're not doing their chores, and they want to have money to go to the mall. And
yeah,
I'm not talking about my own kids. But
Yes, you are.
Well, you know, parents, it's easy to define these moments as laziness or self-centeredness. And, of course, when people write about it, it's often thought of that way. But what happens is we immediately go to the negative on that, and we fail to see that, you know, some of the things that are just part of growing up. Part of becoming an adult is, one, you're not yet an adult, and two, you're on the way, and three, there's a desire to become self-sufficient on the one hand, at the same time, while you're still dealing with the fact that society and everything else, plus readiness, says you're not quite there yet.
Right,
so parents have to cut some slack there, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I think they really do. I think it's really important. So, you know, we'd say... You know, maybe stay more involved and be more open. And we were talking about this earlier too, Dave, Katie, and I, that it would be really important for parents to kind of try to remember. I know it's hard sometimes for us to try to remember some of the thoughts we were thinking and some of the things we needed when we were 14, 15, 16 through 19. You know?
Yeah, going through those changes. Yeah.
And if you can recall some of those things that you did, and or have your parents remind you, you know. Our kids' grandparents go, God, I remember when you did this. And I mean, I think that's really important, too, to go, oh, yeah, I did that. My parents, I think our parents, you know, Alan, were a lot stricter than we come off these days because, I mean, we're supposedly more enlightened, right?
Right. But every generation believes that. And you got to wonder, you know, it must be that five or six generations back, they must have been monsters, those parents.
Yeah, exactly. They must have been really monsters. No. So what you're saying is maybe there. I think, you know, society, people are becoming more enlightened, and like we were talking about, a little psychologically, we're more savvy. Not just because you and I are psychologists.
I agree. There's certainly a bigger conversation about that. We're more open and willing to talk about feelings generally, and people are, and also we see that the zeitgeist, you know, the what's in the news and what's in print as well, you know, are things that where we're encouraged to reflect and think about ourselves and how we come across each other, and I think that bodes well for the possibility of people communicating better, especially family members.
Yeah, exactly.
Another thing that I think really comes into play with, you know, the generations getting more enlightened and, you know, parents laying off a little bit with each generation is a lot of the technology, you know, like we have access to countless amounts of new technology that, you know, can give you information that, you know, open your mind to new things. And I think that because of it, you know, the parents deal with the technology and the kids deal with the technology, in which, you know, advances everybody. For example, you know, the internet, you know, I mean,
oh yeah,
we are,
you know, five generations ago, the internet probably wasn't even a thought, you know, but, you know, now it's like, you know, if you were to think, just imagine your life,
you'd have to imagine it. Yeah. It'd have to be a fantasy for you. For me, it was a reality. Although
right.
The telephone was long there before I got there, thankfully.
Yeah. Really. But the thing is, the instant gratification thing, I think that is what drives a lot of parents crazy, too, is that I need to talk to my friend right now. I'm having this issue, so I'm going to text them.
Well, that's right. You know, yes. The other thing, too, is that this is a rare thing, you know, with the internet and electronic technology, digital technology, that this is now children, if you may say so, or, you know, young adults are more competent than their parents are. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
I mean, my 11-year-old has some skills on the computer that I'm never going to have.
I hear you. And they're amazing. I mean, I think
I try to convince him that he's not smarter than me, though.
That's right. That works exactly.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Well, listen, we're going to be wrapping up the show pretty soon. I want everybody out there to know how to get in touch with Dr. Alan Comeau, licensed psychologist, of course, professor associated with UCLA, and everything else. Wonderful musician. Where's the best place that people can find you, Alan, to ask you about your practice or any questions they may have?
Well, you know, email is really good. If you're on the internet, you're not email. You can reach me through a.comeau at verizon.net. Or if you're interested in music, it's Alan, A-L-L-A-N, at topangarecords.com. That's about the two easiest ways to reach me.
Cool. And we love your music, by the way. Can I put your music on my show? Do I have your permission? I'm going to bust you live. So now
absolutely.
Oh, awesome.
Dare to.
Can I?
Yeah.
Cool. Great.
Okay.
Very good. I'll pay you royalties.
All right. Streaming live.
All right. Alan, thank you so much for being our special guest.
My pleasure. Always glad to talk to you. And
you're
David and Katie, too.
All right.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
We look forward to talking to you soon. Thanks for your expertise.
All right.
Dr. Alan Comeau there, one of the best, probably one of the best psychologists in Los Angeles, I would say. Works with adults and teens. And TJ McCormick just winked at us. He walked in the studio. That was a good face. I like that. This is Dr. Michelle on the couch, as we are every Friday from 11 to 12, and Saturday as well. And we're talking about teenagers, teens in trouble, issues going down with the teenagers, and what they've been through. We've had Katie and David as our special guests. Katie's 17, David's almost 16, sharing with us some of their experiences. And mm-hmm. If there's one last parting comment that you guys would like to make, maybe to parents or adults, to say, hey, why don't you give us a break and or something like that. Is there any last parting comments you want to make before we go into the break and make
way
for
it? Maybe for, like, parents and stuff, I mean, it's obviously, my dad was telling me the other day, like, it's always a parent's job to give advice. And, of course, I mean, kids always want to hear advice and, like, hear other things. But, I mean, it's a lot of kids, I mean, you learn from your experiences. Maybe your thing is you don't want your kids making the same mistake you did. But it's all about, like, if you didn't learn that, I mean, if you didn't have that experience, you wouldn't have learned. So they have the same right to, like, maybe not exactly learn the hard way, but definitely learn a lesson on their own.
Good
one. That's always so important.
Good one, Katie. Thanks. Thank you. Dave, anything?
I'm going to say the same thing. You
okay.
know, I mean, parents try to guide you in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, most parents, hopefully.
Yeah.
And, you know, kids are going to make their mistakes on their own. They have to make their own mistakes, you know?
I think that's great. That's really true. They do. Good point. David and Katie, thank you so much for being my special guest today.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Love to have you. You guys are awesome. Dr. Michelle with you on the couch. You guys can get off the couch now. You teens, giggly teens.
It's
love
comfy.
You.
It's quite a comfy couch.
All right. You know. TJ McCormick's up next. The awesome, fun, wonderful talk show host. One of my favorites here at BBS Talk Radio. The late, great Robert Palmer. We're going out with him.